1. Then I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll with writing on both sides and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming in a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals and open the scroll?" But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth could open the scroll or even look inside it. I wept and wept because no one was found who was worthy to open the scroll or look inside. Then one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit of God, sent out into all the earth. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. And they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And in a loud voice they were saying, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise." Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshipped. Oh, may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Well, 2 weeks ago, we were with Moses singing a song as the Israelites were brought out of Egypt and set free from Pharaoh's oppression. And then last week, we were with the temple and the dedication of the temple and Solomon and the choir that was put together for that auspicious occasion, singing of God's goodness, singing of his love enduring forever. And I hope you've had time this week to reflect on God's goodness. And even perhaps when it's been hard and difficult, you've reflected on the enduring love of the Lord for you. I mean, if the greatest struggles of all, to look at the cross, to look to Jesus, to see what he went through. Remind yourself, the love of the Lord endures forever and through all things. Celebrations and victories are expressed in song, whether it's from the stadium of the winning team, they will sing. And when they have won the victory, whatever it might be, in the sporting arena, songs ring out. Well, we have celebrations when we focus on what our Lord went through for us and the victory that he has won. And so we express that week by week, of course, as we gather together. But the ultimate example is from the courts of heaven itself, where we have these songs of praise. And I mentioned the Psalms as a collection of songs, but how many songs are there in Revelation? Heavenly songs, exalting what our Saviour has done. Focusing on Christ, focusing on his victory, laying down his life so that he could take up the scroll and break open the seals so that history could be worked through to the glory and praise of our Saviour. Well, I read to you three songs. Hopefully you picked that up. There was the new song, and I mentioned that 2 weeks ago, how the Lord does new things. So there should always be room for a new song. And this time it's the 24 elders and the living creatures that break into song because of the new developments, the breakthrough that has happened through what Jesus has done for us at Calvary. And then there is the angelic song. Not just 1,000 voices, but tens of hundreds of thousands of angels singing the praise of our Lord. And then there's that universal song, the ultimate song of every living creature, and even those below the earth, singing the praise, all of creation expressing praise to Jesus. Heaven's hymns surround the Lord Jesus and his work for us. And if you think about it, the greatest hymns always point us there, take us there, lift up the name of our Lord because he's been there for us. You know, there are things that are so associated with their inventor, their maker, that they become named after them. I think about the Hoover, the vacuum cleaner, as it is, but Hoover, as a make, as a brand, people speak of the Hoover rather than the vacuum cleaner. A Stradivarius, we're on a violin, but it's a special, of course, it's the best, the most unique. I heard a story, I think it's true, I can say it from the front. Even the electronics or the electric items made by Kenwood are named after a man called Ken Wood. He's perhaps not as famous as Stradivarius or Hoover, but there you go. But some things are known by those who made and invented them. Many are who and what they are because of their work. We know that person as the baker, the banker, the lollipop man. We know people by the jobs that they do. They find their identity in doing what they do. Well, our Bible reading tonight from Revelation 5 links Jesus this way. You are, says verse 9, because you have made, says verse 10. And that's where I want for us to go. Before we come to the table tonight, I want to look at Jesus. Always want to look to Jesus. You are, what does it say? And you have made. What difference. What a difference what he went through for us at Calvary has made, which will lead us in to coming to the Lord's table together. So let's look at these in turn. First of all, the you are. Now you might think, well, this is only going to be a very short message if that's all the headings are. You are because you have made. But actually, when you unfold the chapter, there's a lot that could be said, more than I will say. But first of all, you are the worthy one. You are the worthy one. Worthy is the Lamb. This description of Jesus, the Lamb of God. John is looking for a lion, the Lion of Judah, and he sees a lamb. But we mustn't think that the lamb is some little lamb like Mary's little lamb. This lamb is described with horns and eyes. Strength and wisdom are symbolized in what is seen. But John looked for the lion and saw a lamb. The lamb was not without power, though it was meek. And is that not just a summing up of our Savior? He laid aside his majesty and demonstrated an incredible meekness amongst all that he had made, to humble himself as a servant and give himself the way he did. But he was with power in that meekness, conquering death, the greatest power of all. Worthy is the Lamb. And so that description of horns and eyes should be noted. And then the devotion that follows. They, the four creatures, and the elders, they fell down before the Lamb. Now, a lot is talked about worship, isn't it? With modern means and music and all the rest of it. But worship is to ascribe worth. It's from the word worth. To worship the Lord is to give him his worth. How much is he worth to you? Are you worshipping him? It means to use all that we have and are to praise God for all that he is and does. All that he means to us. Whether it's expressed in music and song, whether it's expressed in action, words, however it's expressed, worship, ascribing worth. And they showed their devotion falling down before the Lamb. You're the worthy one. You're worthy to take the scroll. As we read in verse 3, no one else could be found. No one else fits the bill. No one else has the perfection, the means and the will, and that have been through what he'd been through for us. Only Jesus. John wept. It looked as though the future would remain sealed up. A spiritual stalemate seemed to be on the card, worse than even Brexit. Yet the Lamb took the scroll, opens the seal, because he is worthy. But more than that, he's not just the worthy one, he's the slain one. He was slain for you and for me. And again, John almost is with eye-rubbing amazement, said, I saw the Lamb looking as if he'd been slain. He couldn't quite comprehend that one who was worthy and victorious would be in such a condition. But the lyrics of the song that flow out from that confirm his assessment, you were slain. Verse 9. And the angels echoed the amazing truth in their song in verse 12. And look at what it says. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Not worthy is the Lamb who is slain, who was slain. He has been slain, but has come back to life. He's raised from the dead. He's overcome death. He has risen. He has triumphed. One who looked, yes, was slain, but was no longer. Past tense, he's now standing in the center of the throne. The worthy one is the slain one. He's the sovereign one. Things are under his control. As we sing at Easter, but we can sing it all year round, death no longer has dominion. It goes on in that little chorus to say, he wears the victor's crown. Not just to try it on resurrection day, but he wears it, risen, ascended, glorified. This is our Lord Jesus. He endured the cross, becoming the slain one. To be the purchasing one. What an incredible verse. With your blood you purchased men for God. The price has been paid. Oh, and what a price. Here's a reminder of the preciousness of every soul in God's eyes. I hope we still have that value on the souls of those around us. Because God has a high price. He paid a high price. The ultimate price. With your blood you purchased men for God. From every tribe and language and people and nation. There's been a lot in the news, hasn't there, recently? The England team came back from Bulgaria and there was much made of the racism row. And it rumbles on. And it is in our society as well as other societies. We can't point the finger anywhere else. But know this for certain, God is no racist. God so loved the world from every tribe, language, people, and nation. That's why the church is to be a missionary church, reaching out. Our offering last week for Poland. Why? Because we like Polish people. We do. God loves Polish people. We love people of every race, language, tribe, and tongue. God's plan was, of course, always to bless the nations of the world through his people. From Abraham's blessing onwards. And that's still his plan, through the sharing of the gospel through his church today. That's the way we bless. Yes, there's need, of course, for social action and care, but it's the gospel that's the ultimate thing that brings the eternal blessing. The Lord, the worthy one, the slain one, is the purchasing one. He went through all that he went through to buy you and me, to buy those who will believe, to bring them out of the darkness into his glorious light. Well, what a thrill. What a thrill to be chosen. I hope you delight to be one of God's people, bought in this way. But what a responsibility. Who is sufficient to do justice to such a special privilege? Thankfully, he is the powerful one. He's the opener of the scrolls. History is in his hand. We read in the songs, power and wealth, etc., given to him. Why? Is that because he was short of these things in some way? No. He'd laid aside these things to come into our world. He didn't have the wealth. He gave all that up in the poverty of his existence. But now it's all poured out upon him, and rightfully so. Given to him what he'd laid aside for us. But in return, as he has blessed himself, he gives his Spirit. His Spirit has been poured out to be with us, to be in us, so that his power can be demonstrated through us in our weakness, but his power, his strength on display. The work of salvation is a complete work. Jesus has done it all. The price has been paid in full there for us. But we have the task, of course, of taking the good news out to those in our needy world. The work of sanctification, the work of his Spirit in each believer, is an unfolding work. His life in ours is a powerful witness to the world as well. We hold out the gospel, but we live out the gospel as well. Because we are what we are because of him. You, Lord, are the purchasing one, the powerful one, who makes it all possible for us. When we come to the Lord's table, when we take the cup and we drink from it, let us remember tonight the price that has been paid, the purchasing of our eternal salvation through his blood shed for us. And let's remember and draw from him the grace and strength and the power that we need for the days ahead. For he equips and wants to equip us with everything that we do need. We're not left just sitting on the bench waiting, but he's there with us in what we have to do. You are. He is the one. And more and much more could be said on all these things. But let me just move on. And my heart was elated, delighted this morning to hear David refer in the message to us being a kingdom and a priesthood. Because that's what's picked out here in verse 10. You have made what? These people who've been blood-bought and purchased by you. You have made a kingdom. Now, for a kingdom to exist, to be established, you need a king. And this kingdom is actually made up of kings. Again, this morning I refer to, listen to it, the royalty that we are in Christ. And we are what we are because he's not just king, he is king of kings. The kingdom is his. It's a kingdom with a throne, and again, those songs have the lyric within them. Looking to the throne, see who's on the throne, see who's in control. How important that was for the early church, how important it still is for us in the 21st century church. The subjects of the kingdom, by God's grace, we are overcomers, but more than that, rulers. That's the promise that's made. Rulers. And not just here in Revelation. This is not just something that John has... this is God's word to him, but it comes out throughout Scripture. Paul writes to Timothy, if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. Not just getting by, not just scraping through, but reigning, royalty, with him, the King of Kings, in his kingdom, doing things his way. And of course, that is the key. It's not this world and its ways, it's his kingdom. His kingdom has different values to this world. Remember the Beatitudes? Remember Jesus' words there, even amongst the suffering. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Yours. To be blessed. To be meek. To be blessed. To be hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And it's a kingdom that grows. It is a kingdom that is growing. Whatever we see this evening in a small congregation, it is a kingdom that is growing. And more than that, it is an everlasting kingdom. Because this is not something that you drop out of. That somehow you fall away. You have it eternally. The everlasting kingdom of Christ, built through the ages. And those who get called home, get called home to this glorious kingdom. But we know of the kingdom even now, and its principles and its ways, as we get to know and serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And yes, it does go on to say, and they shall reign on the earth. And I see all this talk of climate change, and while I'm not suggesting for a moment we ought to be spoiling what we have, there's a new heaven and a new earth the Bible speaks of. And we will reign as in that new order of things. So yes, by all means, be carers of creation, or careful with creation, but never lose sight of what is yet to be and what will come when Christ returns in his glory. He has made them to be a kingdom and priests. I don't know about you, but you might look at that and say, well, I think I prefer to be a king than a priest. A king seems to have a lot more going for it than a priest. But what a priesthood we're speaking of here. Access to God. And of course, just as a kingdom exists because he's the King of Kings, the priesthood exists because he's the great high priest. And we can minister before the Lord with access to his presence. And as I was reminding the folks out at Canewdon this morning, we are a priesthood of all believers. It's not just David and I that somehow have special access, that passes that get us places that you could never know. We can all, through our simple faith, draw near. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Because of who we are, because of what he has done, we can be people of praise. We should be people of praise. Celebrating his victory. Our victory is even greater than that Moses had with the Israelites. Ours is a greater deliverance. So how much more should we be singing his praise? And the presence that they knew in the temple when it was dedicated, well, how much more we now in the wonderful light of what God has done in Christ and the access that we have. What a privilege, what a place to be. They sang a new song. Have you got a new song in your heart tonight? I've wanted just to encourage you the last 3 weeks to have a new song. Nothing wrong with looking back at old songs, by all means. But to take what we've been looking at and apply it afresh to your heart, to your situation, to your day-to-day living. And say, I can go and face this in his strength because he's my salvation. Because I've got this song in my heart. The angels long to look into these things, we're told there by Peter. Yet even with their longing, not full comprehension of all that was happening, they sang what were marvelous, incredible songs of praise. How much more should we sing and join with those angels in declaring the wonder, the glory of our Saviour? And yes, the day will come when Jesus Christ returns and every knee shall bow. That is the promise. That is the truth. All of God's creation. But let us join with all God's creation. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. The songs of heaven. It's all because of who Jesus is. You are worthy. And it's all because what Jesus has done. You have made a kingdom. You have made a priesthood. You have made the future and all that is ahead gloriously secure. We praise you. We bless you for it. Amen.